This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Popeyes, and Ross Electric Motors.
Gentlemen, welcome to the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. It's Tuesday, the 20th of September. We had an extended weekend due to the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II yesterday. So she's finally laid to rest, and we'll now move on and see where we are in terms of our Commonwealth of Nations, et cetera, a Republic for the Bahamas, X, Y, Z. I don't know that a lot's going to come out of it. There's a lot of discussion about reparations as well. I don't think, while I agree with the notion and principle, I don't think it's going to happen. And I'd also note that the British already paid reparations. That was to the former slave owners. I don't know that they had the slaves in mind. I don't buy that you go, well, no one's accountable because no one alive today dealt with any of it. There are many large countries that are very rich today because of the legacy of the transatlantic slave trade. So I don't buy that we're just going to say it's too late. It's all past because the guys were giving the reparations just as recently as a few years ago to the former slaveholders. All right, so I would say, because I saw Africa wants the Star of Africa back, South Africa, the queen had on her crown. I think you should run all that back now, you know, at least what you can identify. Like, clearly that was, India had a similar request. So clearly that was something that is identifiable as being stolen. One second. I left my glasses at home, so I'm trying to, and my laptop, I'm trying to navigate my talking points and make sure we can speak about these things. So in terms of the Queen, her funeral, I watched 5 minutes of it, and it was a really, I thought, a dope song, drumline that they had on her procession. I don't know, like after the bagpipes, and then they were playing, I couldn't figure out what the song was. Someone sent me a program, but I watched it for a few minutes and that's it. I'm not. It's a historic world event, mind you, with all the world's leaders, you know, just about being there. But I was not very interested in it. So, all right, today I want to just get the lowdown on Fiona, which is impacting Miguana as we speak. We had an evacuation from there earlier. And we're also probably going to get some rain and wind on Acklands, Crooked Island, and Agua. From the storm track, it doesn't look like it's going to do a great deal of anything on Crooked Island or Acklands. It did quite a bit of damage in Puerto Rico, did some in the DR. Turks is getting pretty hammered with it as we speak. It's now Category 3. But it looks like by tomorrow that'll be out of the Bahamas, and we'll see what it does on Mayaguana. I'm not sure. Mayaguana was very prepared from what I saw on the news reports, which is unfortunate. I'm not sure that... Oh, someone said I got to shout out love to the Dolphins. I ain't got no love to give the Dolphins, but I'll give them some credit for that amazing comeback on Sunday. I know about love. That's a strong word. We don't use that word lightly. I'll give them some credit. They looked fantastic in that comeback. They were down by 21 and still came back. And won by, what, 7? Very impressive. Yeah, so I'll give them credit for certain. I wasn't expecting that. We lost. I kind of expected that, but I still picked us. I was holding out hope. Okay, so, right, before we talk about the Queen or anything like that, I'm not tripping on the Queen. There's a very complex legacy in that. People liked Queen Elizabeth because she was a figure of stability and really friendly and warm. Charles doesn't feel the same, doesn't give you the same warm, fuzzy feeling. And there's a lot of history to deal with in terms of the legacy of colonialism. All right? That's complicated and takes a lot to unpack. I wasn't in the mode of you got to celebrate that the Queen's dead or whatever. I don't know. I don't know that that does anything. I mean, she was 96 years old, lived in the lap of luxury her entire life. Her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are going to be taken care of likely forever in probably a lap lifestyle that's quite the same in terms of comfort and privilege. So I don't know that rejoicing on our end is going to do anything. I just think that we should start to craft our own image, and we got to look at what our country looks like in terms of a republic, in terms of our electoral system, in terms of do we even want that? There are lots of people who say, yeah, let's do it, let's pull the trigger, and then you get to a place that doesn't really make a ton of sense, like where Barbados is with it. Like, I'm happy Barbados did it, but I think that it was a rush job. And now they have the Constitutional Commission trying to sort out what they're going to do from here. So they're not even sure what it looks like. All right. Swan, you have my attention when you start talking Dolphins. Tread lightly now. No, it's good things. I was impressed. I will not lie to you. I was quite impressed. And I know what it's like. I'm not here to make your life worse. I mean, I'm pretty petty with it, but not yet. I know what it is, right? To have a team that you love, not for as long as y'all been loving it for a little result, but I know what it is. And you get your hopes up and you get disappointed. You know what the hard part is about being a Dolphin? To me, I think, is like they've been consistently having this good streak at the beginning of the season and then kind of just fall apart. And that must be rough. I can't imagine. It's like loving a woman who just can't get it right, right? But good show. I'm not going to take away from that win. That was solid. I'm not going to take away from it. I respect it for sure. All right? In any event, the Queen is buried. Fiona is hitting Mayaguana. They've evacuated a couple dozen people out of Mayaguana. It doesn't look like it's going to have a great deal of impact on the remainder of our island. So let's talk about what I think we kind of missed with the Queen being buried and the Progressive Liberal Party certain didn't have a celebration as it would have wanted to in terms of its first year in office, which they consider a success. And so let's talk about it. I think that, before I do that, sorry, I must say this. I'm so sorry. So, over the weekend, a few days ago, U.S. President Joe Biden said that the pandemic is over. He told 60 Minutes the pandemic is over. Okay, so that's based on what? That Joe Biden says that. I'm like, based on that they're at the Detroit Auto Show and the people are walking around with no masks on. People seem like they're okay. I'm confused as to what metrics we're using to say that the pandemic, because that's certainly not what the World Health Organization is saying, even though they want to move on to other things. Help me understand why the pandemic is over. And if the pandemic's over, then why are we still functioning as if we're in a pandemic? Why does the Bahamas still have these restrictions on unvaccinated travelers if the pandemic's over? I've seen no indication that COVID is a particularly seasonal thing. They said like last year with the cold and flu season it would ramp up, but it was months behind of when the flu season traditionally starts. Dr. Michael Darvill had said we were waiting to see hospitalizations low and people not dying from COVID in hospital. So we're seeing that. Does anyone understand what the metrics are to say that the pandemic is over? What are they? Because no one ever explained to me what the threshold is. And no one ever explained to me what the threshold with the Ministry of Health is. I went to a function on Saturday. Scores of people. No one had on a mask, right? Earlier that day, my son went to a different function. No one had on a mask. Went to the hotel. No one had on a mask. But yet you go to church, even outside, they're wearing masks. You go to school in all this heat, and you're wearing masks. So what are we talking about? The pandemic's over. Like, what are we? And see, and I'm not knocking Uncle Joe, but when these statements come from politicians, I don't know that we're being paranoid when we start to think that a lot of this stuff is political, right? Because I've heard no major medical organization or health organization say the pandemic is over. And I've not heard, to be frank with you, a whole lot in terms of ringing endorsements that we now can operate differently. So I'm trying to figure out where we are. All right. So I think that there are common sense things that are not adding up, that we're not doing. Like, there's this requirement for testing for unvaccinated travelers, and Michael Darvill said we're looking at when we're going to drop that. We're going to be punished by travel industries because of that. You can believe that. So I don't understand what it is we're doing. I don't understand why we're still... We haven't seen this uptick in explosion of COVID cases in months and months and months. Are you saying to me you believe that is because of mask wearing? Even though we didn't have an explosion, school was closed, and kids were doing summer camp, XYZ, no explosion in COVID cases, no explosion in hospitalizations. There are now 13 people total, I believe, in hospital who've tested positive for COVID-19, three of them in the ICU. We just had, not too long ago, a data dump of deaths that they say were reported later, discovered through autopsy to be because of COVID-19 or to have had COVID-19, not even that was definitively the cause of death. So I don't understand what we're doing anymore. And I feel a type of way that for such a long time, there was just this rigidity to it. And any question you asked was some sort of politicization, or you were called some sort of COVID denier, or you were QAnon or whatever. But now that it's convenient for politicians to start doing what they want to do, we're not supposed to question any of it anymore, right? So the pandemic's over now. That's good to know. I'd love to understand that. I haven't seen not only are we behaving in a strange way, but I haven't seen any uptick in vaccination campaigns. I saw they said we got the child vaccine. Doesn't seem like too many people want that. I didn't vaccinate my kids with it. My children have had COVID. I've seen it. I've had COVID, even though I was vaccinated. I'm not about to take another vaccine unless you explain to me what you've seen through data about the effectiveness of how long the vaccine lasts, et cetera. So I'm just confused now that Joe Biden says COVID's over and we do what from here? And I don't understand what we're doing in the Bahamas at all. I think that, and we'll talk about it in terms of the first year of the Davis administration. Since Biden is not all there. I tried to tell you that from 2020. Hey, Biden done had COVID like 9 times, right? He's a soldier. I don't, ain't no, let that be known. He's a warrior. Uncle Joe and Auntie Jill done have COVID, done had COVID over. He knows COVID now. Let's be clear about that. I know they probably got some stem cell treatment going on and monoclonal antibodies and stuff that we don't really have access to, but can't say Uncle Joe don't know what COVID looked like. Can't say that. Anyway, I'm confused. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand how the pandemic's over. I don't understand why. Oh, no, it's not even a big thing. Like, you notice the Ministry of Health isn't even releasing the dashboards, like, on a daily basis with like, regularly. They're pushing out, like, 2-3, like, skip a couple of days. I guess the person was out. I don't understand what we're doing. Sorry. And I don't understand why a lot of these regulations that are still in place make sense. And don't look at me crazy, because this is coming from a politician. Okay? It's coming from the President of the United States, who spent billions and billions and billions of dollars on COVID, billions, I'm sorry, probably trillions at this point, would it be? Well, between him and Trump. He spent all this money on vaccination programs, on free test kits, etc., and outfitting different entities. I don't understand why he's just declaring the pandemic over. A. B. I'm not clear on what we're doing. And you know what? Michael Darvill, he sounds very doctorly, if that makes, like, his bedside manner is quite good, right? You know, there are different types of doctors. You go to one doctor and they're very clinical and cut and dry, and you need that, someone to just level with you. And then you go to a different type of doctor and they make it just feel very comfortable, explain things to you. They make you feel safe. Like, that's Darvill. Darvill's like the guy who makes you feel safe. To me, like, when I hear him talk, oh, okay, Darvill's, you know what I mean? Like, you, and Sans too. Sans sounds like authoritative, right? Like, with Sans, you're like, man, this guy knows his stuff. You know what I mean? And you trust him, right? Minutes, not at all. But Darvill, certainly, yes. But I don't understand what's going on with the Ministry of Health. So I don't understand why. Have you been in the government office lately? Plexiglass, social distance, half the people ain't there. They're operating as if they're in the height of the pandemic. I don't understand it. I don't understand why the masking thing is still going on. And you know what? I'll wear a mask in a store. I don't care. Whatever. But the masks in school, I like, what's guiding them on that at this point? Is my question. So I don't get it. All right. I'm not going to belabor it, but I don't get what the Ministry of Health's doing. They haven't had a Ministry of Health press conference in many moons. Dr. Darvill will take questions. He's receptive if you contact him, so the other reporters tell me. But I don't know that we're still taking this at all seriously in terms of we're looking at it methodically and going, yeah, we can now do this and do that, and let's move on to this and move on to that. I don't get that any of that's a real consideration. I think what has happened is that, and I don't just want to put it on this, but Minnis so often, because Brave Davis also had questions, Jesus forbid you ask a question around here, verboten. Davis also had questions about how Minnis was guiding the pandemic, right? And Minnis, his retort was never to properly explain any thresholds or anything like this. So much of what he did didn't make sense. But his retort was, do you listen to the PLP and Brave? More people will get sick. More people will die. And he did it over and over and over and cast them as these people who were just hoping that Bahamians would just get sick in mass and drop dead, and that they were so reckless and unsafe and didn't know what they were talking about, even though they had their own team of doctors. We, or they, in the PLP, seem to just be operating out of an abundance of not wanting to seem reckless. Right? That's what it seems like. And I don't understand why we're still at that point. I haven't heard from Dal Regis. Is she even still on the island? I don't know. Haven't heard from Pearl McMillan. I heard they sidelined her. And the new guy, his name doesn't come to me at the moment. Haven't heard from him. Dr. Brennan, don't hear from him. Dr. Forbes has stopped talking about COVID, or did we just stop calling her about COVID? I saw the other day they were talking about AIDS, and I go, oh, we're back to AIDS now. Okay. Right? So I don't understand where we are. No one's explained it to me. Nobody's made it clear to me. And I think a lot of the regulations that are still in place don't make any sense. All right. And if Biden's out here talking about everyone's not wearing masks at the Detroit Auto Show, what are we doing? I'm confused. I'm mad confused. So the President of the United States says no one's wearing masks. Everybody's fine. We still got a problem with COVID, but everybody seems to be doing well. What is it that we're doing? All right. COVID's never going to go away. We were told to take precautions so that we didn't overwhelm the health system. Health system's not being overwhelmed. So I don't understand what we're doing. That's just me. Okay? That's just me. Now, we're going to talk about 1 year of the Davis administration. We got to take this break, but we're going to talk about 1 year into the Davis administration and what it looks like. I'll say this. I don't know what half of you have been doing who are in cabinet and appointed to certain particular posts. I don't know that you've actually done anything. A report in would be nice. Maybe they had that planned and then the Queen died. I don't know what it is that a lot of you have been doing. And we'll talk about that, right? And I'm not trying to be mean about it. I just don't know. It doesn't appear that a lot of you are really functioning. Now, for the things that matter to me, not that matter, but are paramount to me, which is the economy, which is national security, etc., I at least understand a lot of what you've been doing or attempting to do. But, and we'll go down the list. And, you know, I'm tired telling people don't take it personal. People will. And for people who want to run an entire nation, I don't know that I've ever met more thin-skinned people than a lot of politicians. Some just are fine, and they expect that. But others just will brook no negative word or critique, right, without an uproar. But I don't know what half of you have been doing. And I've been paying attention, too. So don't act like it's just me. All right? We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Double shot decaf cappuccino.
Light roast Colombian no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Opa! Burger King Nassau is bringing you the fresh Greek flavors you love done the BK way. Come and enjoy the new Greek Whopper with a delicious combination of tzatziki sauce, feta cheese, red onions, and refreshing cucumber on our signature flame-grilled patty. Or go Greek with a plant-based Whopper or crispy chicken sandwich. All three delicious sandwiches are topped off with lettuce and tomato and made the Burger King way. Bring your friends and experience the Greek Whopper lineup at BK Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. All right, we're trying to get into talking about the first year of the Davis administration. And the first thing I'm going to grade them on, and this is no longer the most important thing to me. In fact, COVID was always the most important thing during the height of the pandemic because how it affected so many other things. But in terms of when the economy started opening back up, before that, actually, for me, COVID became less important to me than the economy because you're going to count COVID lives, but COVID's not the only thing out there that's killing people, all right, or bullets, all right? And we have yet to properly, holistically take stock of what exactly has happened other than the raw numbers of people who got sick with COVID, which I don't think we even scratched the surface of. And the people who died with COVID, from COVID. In terms of that, I don't think we've done any holistic take as a nation as to where exactly people are. We don't have any hard data as yet. The prelim census report is supposed to come out shortly, so we'll see. But the first thing I'll talk about with the Davis administration has been the response to the pandemic. All right? We got a phone call? Sure, let's take it. If you got something you want to say about the Davis administration, et cetera, first year in office, let's do it. All right, good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Ron.
Hey, good afternoon. How's it going?
What's up? Everything cool, bro?
Yeah, man. So for sure.
I want to address what you spoke about before you came back from the break.
Okay.
You're wondering where everyone went. Everyone now is taking for cover one. The plandemic is over.
Hello?
You know?
Yeah, I didn't hear you. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, this line is kind of janky, but go ahead.
Yeah. Should I call back on another line or continue talking?
You call back on... What number did you call just now?
3236232.
Call 325-4316. I'll look out for you.
4316. Okay, I'll call right now.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Okay, so... He was saying everybody ran for cover. Who's everybody? Oh, the people I said, I don't know what they do? Sure, sure, sure. I don't, maybe they're working, right? And I just don't see it. But I don't know what half of y'all have done in a year. And I don't think, I think like in any job, there's an evaluation period. And one could argue that might have been the budget debate. And that was the incubator. And if that's the case, then I still don't know what half of you do because a lot of you didn't even explain it properly. I'm aware of what the heavy hitters are doing, pretty much, right? Davis, Cooper, Alfred Sears, Glennis, you know what I mean? Wayne Monroe. Who would I say is the other heavy hitter? You know, I'm aware what they're doing. But in terms of all the rest of y'all who got jobs, it's unclear for a lot of you. Not all of you, but a number of you, I'm unclear. Pinder, Ryan Pinder. See how he came and gave that update the other day? Comprehensive, right? Here's what we're doing. Here's X, Y, Z, da, 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 da. So I appreciate Pinder was at least saying that. Juan, dolphins in your belly. Dolphins in your belly. You see why I do them like I do them? See why I do y'all like this? Somebody got to keep y'all humble. Now, what I want you to do, keep that energy, dolphins in your belly, and let's circle back after y'all play Buffalo. All right? Let's circle back on the other side of Buffalo and let's double check if dolphins in your belly. But I get it. All right. That was a big win. I get it. I'm impressed that you came back from because Baltimore looked like they had it. Had you. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Ron.
Hey. Line? Yes. Yeah, that's better. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, calling you back. You asked the question where all the doctors, everyone stopped talking.
Right.
The plan, P-L-A-N, demic, is over.
Okay.
We know about the Wuhan China lab, the P4 lab, gain of function. We know about all of that.
Mm-hmm.
What actually happened earlier this year, late last year, there's a federal judge in Northern Texas by the name of Mark T. Pittman.
Okay.
You had some doctors who took Pfizer and the FDA to court to get them to find out what is in the vaccine, the lipid nanoparticles and the ingredients.
Right, I heard about that.
Pfizer wanted to keep everything hide until 2096, that's 75 years.
Yes, I heard about that too.
Yeah, the federal judge ran them out of court. What I have in my possession is a 396,000, well, part of a 396,000-page document. We found out that Pfizer shots cause 1,291 side effects. Okay?
1,291
side effects.
Mm-hmm.
In the first 30 days of their trial, we found out that 1,223 people died. Four died on the same day of the shot. The spike protein inside the vaccine is a toxin. So they're actually poisoning people.
Mm.
Okay? They're actually poisoning people. The doctors...
Nah, I'm not going to lie to you, my brother. I've had numerous vaccines, and I'm okay. I feel okay.
Thank God for the grace of God. What actually happened, you could have a robust immune system. That could be one of the, because you look like a healthy brother to me when I see you on the street.
Yeah, man.
You actually didn't need that. In fact, 99.9% of the people that caught COVID-19 lived, never died.
Yeah.
So the shot was actually never needed.
I've heard that argument too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was the fact. That's the data that came out early. So you actually really never needed that. Another thing too is a lot of the shots were placebos because they were doing experimental EUA trial. What I'm very disappointed about, Dr. Minnis, he was around encouraging people to take that poison, right? But the picture I'm looking at shows that the needle is still on the cover. There's a doctor, I believe, her name is Ruth Bastian, you know, good public servant. But they said these public servants have to do their duty. Now, he was encouraging people to take the shot, which he never took.
So Minnis didn't take the shot.
I mean, the picture I'm
You know, you sounding real conspiratorial. You know that, right? Like Minnis didn't take the shot?
If I send you a picture where he said he took the shot on the same particular day, would you believe what I'm saying? If I send you the actual picture.
I've heard that before. He didn't take the shot. I don't buy that.
No, but what I'm saying is, are you going to believe them or are you going to believe your eyes? You was a sensible young man. That's all I'm asking you, you know.
You're going to send me a picture where he didn't take the shot.
Yeah, where the cover is still on the needle.
Sure, send it to me. Let's go from there.
Give me. You give up your number over here?
No, but you can email me.
I'll get it from the producer.
Yeah, shoot it to me.
Yeah, right. But I mean, no problem. So everyone now is taking cover. Even Fauci resigning at the end of the year. As it relates to face masks, unless you wore the 3M 8210 N95 mask during the pandemic, you were wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the virus is probably 0.50 as it relates to nano. The holes in the mask start about 3. So it's about 3 times wider or bigger or larger than the vaccine. Trying to stop a virus from going through a face mask is like trying to keep a mosquito from going through a chain link fence. So nothing really never made sense to me other than the washing of the hands. And that was explained by Dr. Sim Wallace in the early 19th century. He was a surgeon. He did autopsy and he also delivered babies. And he found out that 3 days after women delivered their baby, they died of childbearing disease.
Okay.
And what actually happened, when he did the autopsy, he went and delivered babies. And instead of washing his hands properly, and how he found out, one of his doctors died because when they were doing an autopsy, they got cut. And they separated the doctors from like the maiden women. And they found out that the maiden women who washed their hands, the children lived. And the doctors who didn't, their patients, which was the woman, ended up dying. It was it happened in the early 19th century. Dr. Sim Wallace, look it up sometime. So
okay.
The washing of the hands.
I mean, I don't have to look up if washing hands is effective, but I got to move on. I don't know
You knew that. Yeah, you knew that.
Yeah, I don't know that we're really explaining anything.
Yeah, but one thing we're not
to
explaining.
Help me.
Yeah, the insurance company is now saying that working age people between the age of 18 and 64, the mortality rate has gone up 40%.
I think that that's a legitimate thing to look at, like what's happening
40%
with stress,
and
suicide.
The only variable was 2021, the vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can blame climate change.
No,
and there's a lot of people dying in this country and everyone is ignoring it.
Yeah.
Everyone is ignoring it, but the truth is out now, right? The vaccine is a kill shot. And if Pfizer wants to sue me, they can sue me. I'll be the first billionaire in the Bahamas.
Nobody's going to sue you, but I'll say this. At least I don't think anyone will. So, and thank you, I want to say, for calling. We didn't help me get anywhere as to where all the doctors are. And you're saying it's a pandemic. So anyway, last I checked, there were 170,000. See, you gotta bring it home for me, right? So last I checked, there are 170,000 people who have been fully vaccinated in the Bahamas. Last I checked, it may be higher than that now, last I can recall. So there's 170,000 people who have been fully vaccinated in the Bahamas. So you're saying the shot is poison and the shot is killing so many people. Then how come we don't have people just dropping down dead left, right, and center after taking the vaccine. Now, if you're saying to me, you don't believe the vaccine made that big a difference and you don't believe the efficacy of the vaccine, those are discussions we can have, because those are still questions out there in the scientific community. But in terms of the plandemic and who discovered hand washing, that doesn't help me. I know you want it to, but that helps me not at all. All right? I believe Minnis took the vaccine. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought that's more of like a 2020 discussion, 2021 discussion. I've heard what he said about the Pfizer data. I've read that, and I've read up on that. And even the FDA wants it. I have read up on that. The mask thing is a question. We covered some of the larger points. All right? But pretty sure we by now understand that COVID is real. COVID killed a lot of people. I thought the vast majority of us were on board with it. COVID killed a lot of people. For the majority of people who caught COVID, it was not deadly and never going to be deadly. The vaccines helped those who were immunocompromised. I believe that. I've seen data to that effect. And I didn't have a problem taking the vaccine. Now, I'm not trying to take more right up and now until you give me some more information. But I don't think we need to go down that route again at this point. I think this point, we could certainly litigate history, but in terms of the broader government action, the broader, I question some things, but I'm not someone out here who's saying that COVID wasn't a real thing or COVID didn't kill a lot of people and make a lot of people very sick. I know a lot of people who were very, very, very sick. Do the masks still make sense? No one's shown me that they do outside of the general conceit that they stop the spread as rapidly as sputum. But, yeah. This is one of these people also need to tell how many people would have died if the shot was not taken. It's so easy to fit things into their theory when data will never be able to tell how many would have died without taking it. Since we're actually discussing if that man had a shot, what kind of judgment stupidity today? I'm not. I believe he took the COVID-19 vaccine. I took the COVID-19 vaccine, is what I'm trying to tell you. I took it. It's okay. Everything still works that I'm aware of. All right? Most people I know took it. Most people. And they were okay. All right? I'm not trying to give it to my kids. They haven't convinced me of that as yet, that it's effective in that population. But I don't have a problem with COVID-19 vaccines. And in fact, if you came to me with a COVID-19 vaccine and you go, hey, this is the one, this works. We did it like the Novavax one is kind of traditional. This is the one, we did it. It hit this. It's going to be about 5 years. We'll see you again. I'd take another one, right? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Do we have this person? Let's go to the other call. Good afternoon. Someone says you got so much patience. I mean, if you feel it's a thing where the Pentaveret was setting up the world for domination and monitoring, you could express that. I mean, I think we've been through this long enough to know that those conversations aren't going to get us anywhere at this point. But you could feel free to express it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello, good day, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, man. Mm-hmm. I heard you watched the whole of the Queen's funeral yesterday.
No, not even close.
One.
Yeah.
That man, that last caller, he is disastrous. He used to be on Mr. Randall Jones' show every day. Mr. Jones got tired of him. He don't believe COVID ever existed. He don't believe in the vaccine. He don't believe in nothing. I don't know what his problem is.
My brother, I had COVID and I had the vaccine. They really. Yeah.
I never had it, but I took the vaccine. We took the vaccine. But he don't believe in anything. He just go all around the world getting these false reports and come back. But what this one say and what the next one say, They need to tie him down, chain him down, and put the vaccine in him. He's totally disastrous.
I don't doubt that some people died after taking the vaccine, you know.
Yeah, but
some people died after drinking a soda yesterday. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta have hard data to tie it in for me.
But when they first come on, the after effect will be good. It'll be mostly good than bad. One or two might have died, but they might have had other illness. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah.
So you can't. He that fella, he don't believe in nothing but this vaccine. But he go on every talk show. I don't believe Mr. Christian Jones is entertaining him now. On Loving the Sam, Mr. Jones gone. So he got to find other shows to come on. You know what I mean? He needs to stop his foolishness.
Listen, I don't know at this point that you're going to convince anyone, take a vaccine or not take a vaccine. You know what I mean?
And he tried to tell you.
I think you're just going to have your opinion, and that's where it may not make a lot of sense.
He tried to tell you, like, you never take the vaccine. You told him you took it, and you took it. You know what I mean? I don't know what do you have against the vaccine.
Well, the issue I have is this, right? So there are many legitimate questions surrounding the pandemic, such as the effects of shelter-in-place orders, such as the efficacy of a lot of measures that we took, such as the cost-benefit in terms of, okay, lives saved, but a lot of lives lost because of lack of access to care, because of addiction, suicidal ideation on the increase, et cetera, isolation, depression. So there are real calculations and answers that are still out there. But what we've done, unfortunately, is tie so many of these legitimate questions and label them as, you must be a conspiracy theorist because of certain people like that who have certain legitimate questions to ask, but tied into this huge grand conspiracy that we don't get answers to those questions because people think you're chasing conspiracy, and I don't.
But I know you studied the whole thing. You went to the Guardian, so you studied the whole thing.
There are people you will never convince that COVID-19 was whatever.
But I'm saying, those type of people need to stay off and go.
I've no longer invested my energy in trying to convince anyone.
They don't need to interfere with people who believe in it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't. He try to convince. That's. I don't think that's right. You just say to yourself, you don't believe in it. Well, you don't believe in it.
Yeah, and you could express that view. But you could say, I didn't think COVID-19 was real, and I don't. And that's fine. I don't know that there's any proof in that. Anyway, let's go to the news. Yeah. Figure out what's going on with Fiona, other issues, and we'll be right back.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We were talking about the Davis administration first year in office, and I started off by talk about the pandemic response. And a gentleman called me, accused me of not taking the COVID. I don't mean to laugh. It's just... In any event, our videographer, who was there when they gave Minister the shot, she said he did indeed take it. And what happened was they said they were going to do a test run with the cap on. Nobody take a picture, because if it gets out, people will say that he didn't really take it, but we just want to make sure we're doing a test run. And I don't know why you got to do a test run on a shot, but anyway, that's what she was there. And she said when they actually gave him the shot, they took the pictures and he took it. And listen to me, unless you're like inside his mind, there's probably nothing I can say to convince you if you really think he didn't. And so that's why I don't argue the point too tough, because I've gone, okay, well, the reporters were there and they said he took the shot. And they're like, well, how do you know it wasn't water? Well, okay. Maybe it was water. I don't know. I didn't prepare the syringe. I didn't get water. I could tell you that. They gave me the real McCoy. But there are legitimate questions that we will have to research in the aftermath of the height of the pandemic. And I don't wish to get those questions tied up in these theories of conspiracy, because what's going to happen is we won't have an honest assessment of, okay, here's what we could have done better. Now, were we doing what the best advice was given at the time in certain respects? Yeah. I'm not going to agree to the lockdown thing. I just fundamentally oppose them. And I fundamentally oppose forking over power to one single person in a situation like that. But I don't. If we're going to tie everything to some conspiracy that COVID wasn't real and it was all planned out and the vaccine was really poison, and I don't know why, population control, it's not working like you want it to. They aren't flopping out at the rate that anyone would suggest. If it's going to get tied up in all that, then, you know, we're just going to be spinning our wheels, because we're not going to have legitimate answers to questions. There are legitimate things for sociologists, economists, political scientists, and certainly health professionals, all right, from a wide array of specialties to look critically at in terms of the response to COVID-19, as well as health professionals understanding the lingering effects of COVID-19. How it's going to operate moving forward, how best to combat it, and how best to treat people who have been impacted by it in terms of long-haul COVID, because that's real, all right? Someone sent me a picture. I can't litigate this if Ben has had the shot or not for y'all. You ever watch Major Hype on Facebook? He plays these West Indian characters, and he has a skit where they're preparing the shot for wholeness, and the nurse is out front, and the police officer comes out, and ladies and gentlemen, hold on, the prime minister's coming out to take the shot, and then the police officer goes in the back, and wholeness is like, tell her, don't, I don't want the shot. It could be a problem if she give me the real shot. And so he comes out and he doesn't actually want the real shot. And I find it funny that people are going on about that if Minnis really took a shot. All right. But yeah, I saw the needle in his arm. Remember when he winced? Like a big baby. I don't like needles. I can't clown people. I don't like planes. People be like, you give me 6 shots. I'll be like, yep. Tastes great. And I'm not tripping off a needle, but then some people get on a plane in a hurricane and be perfectly fine. This is a great show as usual. I feel sorry for your caller when he finds out that COVID exists. If from January of 2020, you at this point do not believe COVID was real and did a lot of damage, there's nothing I can say that will convince you. That much is clear. All right? Are there legitimate questions to have about how we all did it, how we all reacted to it, and what we're doing now? Absolutely. But I'm certainly not going to take on the mantle of convince everyone COVID was real. I don't. Come on now. If you don't believe it after all we've seen, then what am I going to say? You know, I speak well, but I'm not. I don't know if William Shakespeare could convince you otherwise. If he's got a convincing enough way to tell anyone else that COVID was a real thing. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello, Juan. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, not bad. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Excellent.
It's been a while since I've been on this radio, but...
Yeah, good to hear from you.
Yeah, well, I guess the pandemic probably have gotten to a lot of people. But you were talking about the pandemic. I think Minister did a good job. Be personally honest with you, at the time, he did a good job, and I think a lot of lives were saved by this lockdown. The only problem that I had was is that a lot of people are saying now the PLP are doing a great job, but the truth of the matter is that the fact that COVID is now no longer a major threat as it was under the Minister administration, and it was cooling down to the point where we're able to open a lot of things. But had Minister not called the election early, and he had called it later on, he would have done a good job, and I think that would have gained the confidence of the people for him to have a second term. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Fair enough.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's good. Right. I disagree that Minister did a good job, but that's fair enough. That is your opinion. That is how you perceive things, and I, you know, I think my position is pretty clear. Okay, so what did I say? This is bro. It's not real. Explain Haiti and no mask and no COVID shots in some African nations. Me explain? I can't. I'm not trying to explain nothing to nobody, right? If you don't believe COVID is real at this point, that's fine with me. All right? No, go right ahead. Not a problem. Okay? If that's your belief, I'm certainly, after all of this that's happened, I'm certainly not talented enough to convince you otherwise. So I'm not going to try. I know what I have seen and what I have been through. So if all of everyone's other experience put together is not enough to convince you, there's no argument I can make today that will. So I'm, again, I'm not going to try. And I go, well, Juan, you're a responsible host and journalist. And listen, at the end of the day, you're just going to have to believe that you have enough data and evidence to support what is being stated as fact. Okay? So there are people to this day who do not believe the Holocaust happened or in any fashion as it did actually happen in terms of lives lost to this day. Okay? I'm not going to be able to convince you otherwise. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon.
How's it going?
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, whether Minister took the vaccine or not is water under the bridge for us. That's in the past. Yes, water under the bridge. Whether the PLP did a good job in the last year or so, it's concerning, but it's not my biggest concern. I live here in the Bahamas. This little island that we live is under threat of being taken over. And I don't hear anybody talking about these topics in this country. The last time I spoke to you on a radio talk show, it was the FNM government. So I really haven't been on a talk show for a while, but where I live is reaching a boiling point, and I really needed to speak to someone like yourself. I didn't want to say what I wanted to say first on here, but I wanted to get your contact again to see if I could give you some information. You might know about it, you might not, but it is real here where I live. National security threat to our country, okay. Sovereignty of Bahamians, you know, under that.
Yeah, I'm sure you can hold for the producer, and he'll get your number.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All righty. We got another call? Get his number, Ali, please. And then...
How you doing, sir?
No, you're still with me. Arlington's coming to you now. There you go. Let me talk to this other person. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, Vaughn.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, just for clarification, I called earlier. People starting to call. I called earlier. I never said I didn't believe in COVID, you know.
Okay. Oh, you're the one who said Minister didn't take the shot.
Yeah.
Right.
You got someone send you a picture. I didn't. Someone send you a picture, right?
I talked to the videographer. She was there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then we finish, let your producer give me a number.
I mean, but listen, he could have taken Sprite, right? I don't know. What are we talking about?
What I'm saying, the pitches I have the cap still on the needle, but I finished with that. I even ain't talking about that.
Okay.
I called back to say, I never said I don't believe in COVID, you know.
Okay.
What I did say was that it was a pandemic. It was not a virus sequenced by nature, all right? It was made in a P4 lab in Wuhan, China.
I believe that.
Okay, but see, that's all I call back to say. Everyone's saying that.
You said a lot of other stuff, too, though.
Too, which is, but I never said that I don't believe in COVID.
Okay.
So, let's just get that straight, because, you know, that's the only thing people could jump on. The data and the information I give you could be verified. You know this because you saw some of it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right? Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
The most probable explanation for the release of COVID-19 spread around the world is a leak from a lab in Wuhan, China. That's what the U.S. intelligence agencies have said. That's what other intelligence agencies have said. All right? And it doesn't make me anti-Chinese or racist or anything to say that. That's just the best information that is out there. And so they were doing gain-of-function research. All right? They did try to cover it up. That's real. So that's the best information that's out there, all right? And so I believe that. Show me a better theory other than the wet market, which the Chinese government had destroyed, the wet market, and then we'll talk. But I believe that. But it doesn't mean I believe a lot. Doesn't mean that I believe a lot of other things that have been said. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, what do you say, my brother?
I'm right here. What's going on?
I hear from you in a while. I ain't talked to you in a while.
Ah, Vincent, yes, I know.
Listening to you on a regular.
It's been a minute, good.
But I had the vaccine. Mm-hmm. I got my 2 shots. I didn't get no booster.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe Minnesota would have left the curfew if they did then.
Me neither.
I believe they would have still had you under some kind of curfew or something like that.
I totally agree with you.
But I
don't believe he would have let the emergency order expire
exactly.
Either.
Exactly, he wouldn't.
All evidence points to the contrary. So
right, exactly,
right.
Exactly. But what I want to say to you, though, I'm a part of an organization. We just started about 3 months ago, right? I was the vice chairman, named Bahamas Carter. Right?
Okay.
Now, what I want to do, I want to talk to you about that because I might need your assistance in us moving forward as an organization.
Okay.
Do you think we could have a chat sometime?
We could talk. I'll help you the best I can. I got limited money, as you know, I'll help you however I can.
Whatever your heart is, but I want to talk to you about it because I know you know some other people that move there. See, this is a disability.
Okay.
Organization would be just starting.
Yeah, for certain. I'll be happy to talk to you. Still have your number, but just in case, leave it with Arlington.
Huh?
I think I still have your number, but just in case, leave it with Arlington.
Leave it. Okay. Okay.
Okay. All right. Good to talk to you, man.
Okay. 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 Okay.
It's Vincent. Like Wallace, right? We helped out quite a bit. One reporter says, I was there too when Minnis took the shot. We really don't have to relitigate this today. But anyway, says, I watched the needle enter his arm and he jumped. Yeah, I remember him jumping. Yeah. Is this the revolution? Upside down today. What's going on? I don't know. I'm just here. One, these people are not serious. During my sister's first bout with COVID, I literally heard her gasping for air while in quarantine and had to rush in there to help her so she could calm down and catch herself. She had no previous breathing issues before being diagnosed. Maybe those people never experienced anything like that, and that's why they claim it's a hoax. I mean, you know, listen, I know people who have died from COVID-19. Not people I've heard about, someone else told me about. I know people who have died. I know scores of people who were hospitalized with COVID-19. Delta variant almost killed them. Young people, relatively healthy. Comorbidities, yes. But no previous major issues. So I can't. You know what I mean? I can't. And he said he believes that COVID was real. So some people don't. That's on you guys. I can't convince you otherwise. That's not a burden I'm taking on. Not today, for certain. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, how's it going, my brother?
Yeah, I'm okay, but I'm very upset that nobody has learned anything, right? And the readless, bookless sheep are calling and opining in very much a preponderance of ignorance. And firstly, you know, I was going to tell you, if he didn't call back, that I know black male believes that COVID exists, right? But Ms. McCartney, you know what's frightening for me, right? You know, I've had conversations with the mRNA scientist, Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Ankar Chetty, all and the likes, right? And nobody seems to be understanding the science, you know. I listen to you, right? Of course COVID exists, right, Mr. McCartney? But the truth about it, you know, the amount of literature in my brains right now is sickening to me to hear the garbage. Firstly, right, the reporter that you said watched the injection. I was not there. But did you know that there are a lot of deaths and adverse events because of the improper inducement of a vaccine? Does the reporter know the proper way a vaccine should be induced? Because Dr. John Cabot was online during the pandemic explaining the way that it was being done was incorrect. And I could explain it, but they could go and look at it for themselves. But here it is now also, that on DuckDuckGo, right? Because people don't seem to realize that we're being censored. It's make me sick. CDC caught deleting 6,000 vaccine adverse events. They're also saying that the CDC reported only 1% of the deaths between 2020 of May, right, to from December 14, 2020 to May 13, 2020, right, in 5 to 11 years. And it also shows the adverse events, 10,745 and 279 were serious and 5 reported deaths. So when you look at the whole COVID deaths collectively for infants administered, the deaths and the adverse events outweigh the benefits. And so, you know, Mr. McCartney, I could explain something very quickly, please. All right. What they're not telling you is, right, when he said the spike protein is toxic, it's physically toxic. What that means is it causes inflammation in the endothelial cells as it moves through the blood vessels. And so what happens is, because we have ACE2 receptors in about 90% or 80% of the cells in our body, of ACE2 receptors on the cell walls, and that is what the SARS-CoV-2 is affiliated with. That is what it's looking for. And so when it uses that to get into the cell, and so what happens is, as it goes into the cell and it disrupts the cell, it causes dysfunction by replicating itself. This is what causes the problem when it reaches the lungs. You have ACE2 receptors in the brains, the lungs, the sexual gonads, the liver. This is why Dr. Moby and Saeed, not me, saying that these spike proteins are surfacing in these places. So what I'm vexed about is, having a little conversation here and there is not going to do it. Obviously, it's a hidden agenda to hide the truth. We have seen the demographics and the data on the increased deaths in athletes and myocarditis and pericarditis in 17 to 45-year-old demographics. These are facts. They are actually controlling the various adverse event reporting system. All right? You see where the NIH was not fought with, even with releasing the data from the Chinese scientists on all of the experiments, gain of function research. And so, I wish everybody could read the book Viral, written by Professor Lana Chan from the Harvard University. Right? So what happens is, in this book, when you reach page 50, you know that this is a biologically enhanced weapon, because she shows you the chronological lethality from the virus increasing, the four basic coronaviruses that infect humans. The original SARS-CoV-2 basically sticks in the upper respiratory and does a lot of infection there. But what happens is, as you move into MERS and SARS-CoV-2, you see where it moves to the lungs and the lower respiratory tract and causes more inflammation and damage. So what you are actually seeing is, and then now it's also moving to the brains, kidneys, sexual gonads, liver. So you see where in itself, as you read the book, that the virus is becoming more virulent and more lethal. So this is in itself, people say there's no conspiracy, but it's really, I don't know what you mean by conspiracy, but I know that the facts exist. But like I said, having a conversation here and there is not going to do it. When you see where Brooke Jackson has a lawsuit against Pfizer, a former employee, for false advertisement and vaccine efficacy, where they breach lab irregularities and they dredge the data in order to meet FDA requirements. You see where Big Pharma gets the Food and Drug Administration to decrease thresholds on vaccine efficacies, and they breach the parameters on advice, I mean, deaths according to the vaccine. They already had enough deaths from this vaccine for them to halt it. But like I say, it's all in the wind, but it's all out there. And so the call who tried to lambast blackmail, right? What I'm saying is, tell him to go read the 307,000 pages, all right, Mr. McCartney? Mm-hmm. You don't have to read all. But,
Yeah.
But Mr. McCartney, you smart. That's the reason for it. That's by you having 307,000 pages and you compounded by the fact that you didn't want to release it, shows obfuscation and lack of desire to hide it. Dr. John Campbell is online right for years now showing people that this they are not forthwith with raw data. When you read the book Viral, you see all of the tactics that China used they didn't give the BBC team access to the case. They lied about the origins. They tried to withhold human transmission. They shut down the proteome databases with about 22,000 sequences. You know, it's going to be a bit doomed, you know. You got to understand what's going on. You see now why, where they have a new alpha fold paradigm in which they're using the computer, they're using algorithms for the computer to write new protein sequences. You know what that means for me? Because I've achieved that domain. You know what that means to me? That means they can actually make up any virus that they want. You know, if you and I would have a conversation, I would blow your mind. You know why? Because I follow the truth, and that's all I'm about. See, don't even read these lambasting texts with these ignoramuses, man. This is what it is. This is what they want me to say. Because they're not reading, and then they're not listening, but they want to call and judge people for things that was out there in their faces for them to be reading, Mr. McCartney. You could go and read the ingredients in the vaccine. You remember when I asked, what is the source of the mRNA? You go online, even on DuckDuckGo, they have mRNA or mRNA. What is the source of this mRNA? The fact that you're humanizing mice means that you're controlling the paradigm to get the data that you want. You're already getting the virus familiar with a host so that the vaccine becomes less efficacy. Another thing that we must bear in mind, released from the clinical trials data, is that I told you that there are inconsistencies in the adjuvants. That means they're not consistent, so people would have adverse events. And let me stress to you, when you vaccinate someone, you go into intramuscular. So to make sure that it doesn't go into interstitial, you pull back the syringe to make sure you see blood, and then you push it in. It's not me, it's Dr. John Campbell. But you know something? The sheep and the pasture, I'm sick about them, and I'm sick about humanity. And we don't understand that the world has the technology to control humanity. You know why? Because we're all ignorant, and we believe in status quo BS. And another thing I want you to get on top of me, please bring Mr. Michael Darwin on, because I want to know what's going on with this biosecurity paradigm. My cousin just came from Jamaica, prepared for PCR tests, came forward to the people that's making airport telling me he didn't need it, came to Nassau, the immigration say, just go, mind your business, you don't need it. But no one in the terminal wearing masks, but us over the hill, we wearing masks because we used the A. Bless.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to have some answers on the masking too. Okay. Listen, so I'm going to say this so that we're clear about where I am. All the volumes of data about the vaccine and adverse effects, et cetera, at this point are not a great concern to me. Do I want to understand the ramifications of vaccinating such high numbers of the population with these particular vaccines? Yes. Do I understand that they carry certain risks with them that I'll keep in mind moving forward, such as the risk of myocarditis, et cetera? Yes, I do understand. They won't give you certain vaccines in certain countries for certain age populations. But all this that y'all are talking about, and this is no disrespect whatsoever, is not primary on the vast, 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 it's not in the top 10 list of the vast, vast, vast majority of people's concerns. Okay? So while I appreciate that there's been reams of data and 300,000 pages of data, trying to litigate that on the radio isn't going to move the dial. I'm not saying you shouldn't study it. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk about it. But there aren't people out here right now in the general public who are debating whether they should take a vaccine or not. People have either decided they won't, or decided they will. There are some people who are waiting on more information before they do. There are some people like myself who I decided to take the vaccine, all right, in so much as being able to do certain things because they tied it to civil liberties, as well as I felt I could use that level of protection. I've decided not to give the vaccine to my children at this time, because I've not had a convincing argument made to me, and you could again, there's no point in doing it now because I'm not about to change on it. There's not been a convincing medical argument made to me that it makes kids safer and that it doesn't carry risk that they don't yet understand. Okay? So people are making their own decisions about what they're going to do about the vaccination, about what they believe about COVID thus far. Of material concern to me now are the restrictions that are still in place and what medical understanding undergirds them, and the fact that we have not had people coming on to explain to us why these things are still occurring, why we still have certain restrictions in place. So to me, all that scientific data and all that, that's well and good, and I appreciate study and I appreciate, you know, asking questions in a scientific context, but it's for me and this show and where I am in my life, and I'm believe this to be with the majority of people because I hear nobody nowhere talking about whether they should get vaccinated or not. It's not even a top 10 thing. All right, I'm looking forward. I've lost people to COVID-19. I've come on the show and encouraged people to get vaccinated. I've had Dr. Peter McCullough on this show to talk about why he doesn't think these particular vaccines should be administered the way they should. You're going to have to make your own determinations at this point. I'll state again, then we'll go to a break. For me and the vast majority of people I know, this vaccine issue, this coronavirus was released, created, made, it's not a primary, secondary, tertiary concern for anyone I know outside of a very, very select few people. So I'm glad you guys call to express your point of view, but I'm not interested in litigating these issues. And you can call me a sheep, whatever you'd like, but I'm moving on. And I got real legitimate concerns, like a lot of people, like y'all tell me every day, that need to be addressed right now. If you don't wish to be vaccinated, that is your choice. Okay? Let's take a break, and we'll be back. Let's try to talk about the PLP's first year in governance. One of the very important things is the PLP's handling of the pandemic and shifting us into a new normal, which is what they did. Because we could play Back to the Future all you want with Dr. Minnis, but the fact of the matter is he left the curfew in place. He left the emergency powers in place so he could do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. And no amount of trying to figure out what coulda, shoulda, woulda happened had he not called an election is going to change the actual events of history. Okay? So let's take a break and we'll be back.
We foster love in everything we do,
and our signature sandwiches are no different.
Stop on by and try our all-new Buffalo Ranch Chicken Sandwich.
We have taken the chicken sandwich and kicked it up a notch.
Taste our Louisiana Cajun seasoned chicken patty,
served on a brioche bun with two pickles and drizzled with our all-new Buffalo Ranch sauce.
Add a chocolate chip cookie on your order for only 90 cents.
Stop by any Popeyes for your Buffalo Ranch Chicken Sandwich today.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services, from click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Okay, class, let's begin today's history lesson. Ancient civilization used to visit stadiums to watch musicians perform. It was called a live concert.
Teacher, what year was that?
Researchers believe it was around 2019. Normal life feels like a long time ago. As things return to normal, remember, it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, rubella, polio, hepatitis, mumps, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio. We were trying to attempt to discuss, I mean, I won't lie, I started off by talking about the mask thing. Maybe people saw an opening, I don't know, but I really was just trying to get into the rest of Joe Biden is the one who said the pandemic's over, so I'm trying to figure out what we're doing here. But I think it's a legitimate point to talk about the current administration's handling of the pandemic. Now, I'll read this text, right? So this says, one, Menace was only following world COVID protocols. Had he won, the lockdowns would have ended. Where else are there still lockdowns? It's not the PLP's doing. I don't wish to play back to the future and try to figure out what Menace would have done, had he won an election. I don't, there's no sense in that, maybe, because what happened, happened. There was no reason to have a 9 p.m. curfew, all right, and to play with it and tinker with it and all this other stuff like that. He abused his power, in my opinion, and you say that lockdowns would have ended based on what? Him not ending curfews and all these other things before? What are we basing that on? Surely not his history and management of the pandemic. Because all evidence points to the contrary. All right. Now, here's... So, you want to talk about what Menace would have done? I don't see the point in that. All right? Because we know what happened. And so, if you're trying to say that to juxtapose that against, well, the PLP only would have done what Menace would have done, I vehemently disagree with you. Okay? Very much so. I'm going to give the PLP credit for understanding what was in front of Minnis the entire time as he and all the people who sat around him in cabinet and in parliament who weren't opposition members or independents. What all of them said was not a reasonable option was to let general health orders, the Health Services Act, govern the pandemic. So all that you're saying about what, and I don't want to run on too much about Minnis, all that you're saying about Minnis is nonsense to me. Because the day Brave Davis got in, the day after he won, he kept the curfew at midnight. And Minnis then pushed the curfew at midnight so the election could happen. He kept the curfew at midnight, started easing restrictions. Ryan Pinder, Michael Darvill, the Office of the Prime Minister, worked to update the Health Services Act and regulations and proved that it was nonsense that the Parliament had to always approve the emergency order in order for them to govern how they dealt with the pandemic or fork over all power to a competent authority. They proved all that was nonsense. Now, if you want to say, in the first 90 days, we didn't know what was going on, fine. As much as I don't want the lockdowns and all that silly stuff that happened and locking up the people for coconut water or whatever, no problem. You didn't know. And so we ran to the tool we thought we needed, which was the emergency order. All right? But let's get into reality now. What happened was Minnis called the election. He lost. The Progressive Liberal Party Davis administration oversaw the ending of the emergency order, of the last emergency order, and proved that you don't need to fork over all authority to a competent authority and so tightly control everyone's civil liberties based on the whims of one man. I don't know if you remember what happened. They came in, they changed the Health Services Act, which is what I and numerous other people who caught eternal hell saying should have happened more than a year ago, more than a year before that election. All right, so I don't want to distort reality here. Davis didn't come in and follow Minnis's plan. Davis came in and implemented his plan, and I think they've handled the pandemic fairly well. The nature of the pandemic changed. The Delta strain became mutated to the Omicron variant. Omicron was not as virulent, did not take as many lives. Omicron was very much more contagious. And as Omicron raged, again, you may not want to work in reality, right? As Omicron raged, our hospitalizations exploded. Our COVID numbers exploded. Nobody lost their cool. Nobody re-implemented curfews. Nobody increased restrictions. Nobody shut down industries. Nobody closed the beach and the parks. Nobody made you line up outside the food store anymore and go on days that coincided with your alphabet, the first letter of your last name, even though that was short-lived. So there is a distinct difference between how Davis handled the pandemic and how Minnis handled the pandemic. Because guess what? By the time March of 21 was rolling around, March, April, the nature of this thing was changing. All right? And yet still, Minnis hung on to a lot of the old controls that he no longer needed to. I think because he just relished the power. Which, to me, prime ministers have power enough already. I don't know that you, all that extra they were doing, suspend procurement regulations, even though the PLP doesn't follow them properly, change contract law on a whim, all right? The PLP said, and even though there were unpopular measures, Wayne Monroe said, you're going to have to license your car, even though a lot of y'all ain't doing it. They said, you're going to have to update your driver's license. You're going to have to reconcile these water bills, these electricity bills, X, Y, Z. All right, so don't hand me that Davis just did what Minnis looked like he was doing or was going to do. That's totally not the case. All right, so please, Let's have an honest conversation, not a magical one. All right? I'd really appreciate it. So, in general, their handling of the pandemic has been markedly different than the Minnis administration's was. We'll never know what Minnis might have done. But as I said, history, the evidence is against that he would have acted differently to me. Okay, there's a concept of the Davis administration reopening the economy, and I want to push back on that, okay? Even though there was a lot of bozification going on during the Minnis administration, to suggest that the economy reopened because of the Progressive Liberal Party does not make a ton of sense to me. Now, we could talk about management of the pandemic, emergency orders versus health service regulations, et cetera. We could talk, and I won't have a chance to get to Glenn Santa Martin today, but we could talk about the serious work put in to send these kids back to school. All right? But most sectors of the economy were already operating. There's a convincing argument that you could make that the economy bounced back faster because of the curfew being pushed to midnight and then the elimination of those curfews. All right? The return to events, in-person events, and also accommodating the cruise industry. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of this stuff was in train. And while I do think the administration deserves credit for diligently working with these sectors, and it's not all top marks for the PLP at all, by the way, it seems fallacious to me to say the PLP reopened the economy. All right? The cruise industry was going to reopen. Now, certain things helped. It bounced back faster, right? The elimination of the travel visas for Bahamians, and then the elimination of the travel visas altogether. There are still restrictions in place that don't make sense that I believe we're gonna get punished for. The listening to the hotels in terms of dropping a lot of the restrictions, all right? Listening to the tourism associations so that that could bounce back more robustly. I think those really did help. But the notion, the blanket notion that we use of reopening the economy, to me doesn't make sense. All right? So if you want to say, well, eventually under Minnis, the economy would have reopened, no problem. Sure thing. But don't tell me Minnis would have governed differently, given that he would have won an election, which would mean that people would have actually endorsed the things that he did before, which I disagreed with. And turns out the majority of the electorate did as well. All right, so the PLP gets credit for management, but I'm not going to go ahead and give the PLP credit talking about reopening the economy. Because here's what's true. Even though the PLP has failed to make hard decisions on certain things that are important, like the BLP fuel charge, like NIB rates, etc., in my mind, the Progressive Liberal Party, while reducing value-added tax, has been much more aggressive in going after delinquent taxpayers. One of the examples I would use is being adamant that they're not going to give any more concessions on real property tax other than a couple of incentives to knock off some surcharges. In terms of the Progressive Liberal Party saying that they view how VAT should be remitted for insurance premiums differently than the previous administration, in terms of actually trying to utilize the Real Property Tax Act in terms of making banks insist that people pay their real property tax. When's the last time you saw that? So, yes, the PLP reduced VAT from 12% to 10%, which I applauded. They put it back on breadbasket items, which to me ain't that big a thing in the grand scheme of things. But the Progressive Liberal Party has been very aggressive in terms of tax collection, closing loopholes. I'll balance that out, right? We're getting into the economy now versus management of the pandemic. But they've helped the economy in terms of the moves they've made at the Ministry of Finance with regard to the pandemic, and I think they've spurred the economy by reducing the value-added tax, so that's certainly helped. I honestly believe that. They've also helped drive the economy forward by some of the tax concessions that they were willing to give while tightening up in other areas. All right? Let me do some of your text messages because we're running out of time. It says, what will dog Prime Minister menace is the perceived attitude he exercised in the use of competent authority power. His administration did a lot, but the lack of PR hurt the FNM. And I want to talk about that if we get the chance tomorrow. So that's a big one, too, that administrations go, lack of PR, lack of PR. Right? And that's what was going on with the FNM. I don't think that notion makes a lot of sense, that a lack of PR hurt the FNM. Certainly, this administration has a better PR game than the last administration. There's no question in that. Is there value for money in what they're spending, handing out jobs like candies for a lot of people who aren't quite qualified for them or aren't qualified for them at all? There's a calculation we could make in terms of that as well. But we'll talk about that. Says he made the hard calls like the lockdown. Come on, let's be fair. I was fair. If in the first 90 days, as much as I didn't like it, y'all wanted to say, well, this is what we're dealing with and this is how we're going, fine. But the Davis administration put a lie to the necessity of the continued use of emergency orders. And that's just facts. All right? If you needed time to readjust the Health Services Act and other laws, and we're using the emergency orders to give us some time, certainly. But from March 2020 to November 13th, 2021, you couldn't adjust? It's nonsense, right? It's so I don't play rose-colored glasses with history. People were saying over and over and over, you don't need this level of power to govern this pandemic. And you talk about what other nations did. There are lots of nations that didn't have emergency powers instituted. All right. So anyway, that's a bit of a review. We got sidetracked talking about all these different COVID aspects. But I'm talking about a year into power and being sober-minded about it. And you ain't got to like Brave Davis and you ain't got to like the PLP. That's fine. Although I do like Brave Davis. I'm non-committal about the PLP. But if we're going to have an honest assessment of the first year, there are things that were done differently by this administration that we can point to see this actually made some sort of difference. On balance, will the next 4 years look like the last year? We don't know. There's been a lot of clout chasing, which I'll get to. There's been a lot of people missing in action who got driver and blue plates and all this stuff like that that we could talk about. There are a lot of things that I don't, there are numerous things that I don't like that seem to have taken a back seat since the administration came to power. But if we're talking management of the pandemic, while it has not been perfect by any means, I'm going to give them good marks. All right? And I'm not going to sit here and go, yeah, sure, Minnesota would have done the same thing. That doesn't make any sense to me. All right, we got to go. You guys take care out there and have a great day. Bahamas, Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow.